I feel like such a nag with students, where I'll be like, I promise sleep is good. I'm not trying to say this to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to say like, oh, everything is worse because you don't sleep. Instead, try to frame it as like, this doing this is hard, but it will help everything. Like literally everything. But you know, teenagers have lots of barriers for sleep, shall we say. So
yeah,
I certainly did not sleep that much when I was a teen. Actually, what I did was I didn't have as many extracurriculars in the afternoon as a lot of my friends. So I would just like go home and crash.
Yeah.
Wake up in the like mid afternoon.
And then not be able to fall asleep when you need to go to bed.
And then yep. like, yeah, then I would ditz around. Then I had dinner. Then I did all my homework after dinner. And would stay up late and then fall asleep in the wee hours in the morning. Yeah, that's yep. how I did all of high school. It kind of worked. I mean, it was college that was an absolute nightmare for sleep for me. I mean, because I did not have a schedule at all.
Yeah. Well, college was great for me because I didn't have to wake up before like 9-10 o'clock in the morning because I just mm-hmm. scheduled all my classes that way. That's why I didn't take like any economics classes because they taught all those at 8 o'clock in the morning and I was not waking up for those. Like that's statistics, right? Like I was never waking up for an 8 a.m. class. It was not happening. Like 21-year-old Steve would be so aghast at what my actual schedule is right now. Like, but yeah, like we would stay up until like 3 o'clock in the morning and then I'd like wake up at like 10 and then go to class and it was fine.
That part was nice when I was able to manage it. I was like, we would play D&D in the student union until we got kicked out at 3 a.m. And then we would get food on the street because it was New York City. So there was food on the street at 3 a.m. unfortunately, I didn't have, like, if I had had a regular schedule that was 3 a.m. to 10 a.m.,
yeah,
that would have been doable, but I did not at all. I did not have a regular anything, and that was bad, especially my first year. But really, sleep was hard for me in college.
Yeah.
All the way through.
My daughter goes to bed at like 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, who are you? My daughter is like a freshman in college. Like, who are you? Like, how do you do that? Like, whose daughter are you? Like, I don't think I ever went to bed before 11. I might have gone like maybe 11 a.m. But like, like, I don't think I ever went to bed before 11 p.m. in college, like once. And she's like, yeah, I usually go to bed at like 11 to 12. Like, okay, I'm glad. Like, I'm not going to tell you not to, but like, also, who are you and what did you do with my daughter? Like, but, you know, it actually caused some problems, you know, like, because, you know, with a roommate, right? But they're past that now, but.
Yeah. I had a single at least.
Yeah.
There would have been some conflict. I purposefully picked, there were three, my freshman year, there were three dorms you could pick from. And there was the big one that most people did that was over the cafeteria and like most centrally located. And it had like sort of the normal college experience and it was mostly doubles. Sometimes like you shared a bath, like an ensuite bathroom with another double or stuff like that. And so most people did that one. There was the party one where there was always stuff going on, but there might also be vomit in the stairwell.
And
then there's, which I was like, you could just be in any other dorm and then visit that one and then leave when you actually want to get some sleep. Or you just don't want there to be vomit in the stairwell. And then there was the one that I picked, which was like dead quiet at all times. And also had a bunch of older students in it. But like, it was like all of the like absolute nerds. Not that, I mean, there are nerds who like to party, but this was like the nerds who were like, if we're going to party, we're going to go elsewhere. When we come back. And that was actually perfect for me. I did spend a little too much time in my room probably, but when I wanted it to go out and be social, it was like better. Also, I was only on the third floor, which in New York City is not bad. In the main building, my boyfriend's dorm room was on the seventh floor. And if I tried to take the elevator to the 7th floor, everyone would glare at me. So that's how I got my exercise in college, was walking up.
You just
up
walked
to
up seven flights of stairs every time?
Every
you
time.
To go? Oh my God.
Yep.
I mean, I guess that's good. It's good for your cardio, but geez, yeah.
There was a lot of stairs everywhere on that campus. Like, it's not like there weren't elevators, but it probably was not actually that accessible a campus and probably would be really annoying for anybody who, like, had to take the elevator. But because there was just stairs everywhere and it was just, like, so much verticality. And if it was a really tall building, then people would be annoyed if you were anything other than, like, the 9th. Like, if it was, like, a single-digit floor and you were using the elevator, they're like, why are you using the elevator? You should walk. It's like, I'm going to the 9th floor. You should walk. So,
God, that's like the end of Final Fantasy, or not the end, but like the final end of Final Fantasy VII remake, like 57 flights of stairs. Like, <it's>,
oh. Unless you were like carrying something, you know, or like had some other, or, you know, had crutches or were in a wheelchair or had like some reason why you needed to be taking the elevator. That may not be true in all parts of New York City, but
wow,
that particular building.
New York is a hellhole, and you know how I feel about hellholes, to quote Homer Simpson. Like, oh my God.
It was a lot of fun to be in New York City, but it was also not good for somebody who was already struggling with sleep.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally the city that never sleeps. So yeah, that's not going to be great for you.
But it was fun to be able to, you know, I had one friend who, bless her, did sort of dragged me out to, like, we saw The Daily Show in person. Oh, yeah. We saw The Colbert Report when that was still going on. We saw Alan Rickman in a play and Daniel Radcliffe in a play.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And this was back when there was no obvious problematicness to Harry Potter.
His
friend I were big Potter fans. And I've explored a lot of restaurants. I found really good examples of every type of cuisine except Mexican.
Really?
Being from California.
Oh yeah, from California. You're not gonna find anything that's
yeah. According to Hat, there are good Mexican restaurants in New York City, but you have to look for them. What's a dime a dozen is like Puerto Rican or Cuban, which we barely have either of those in California, but they're easy to find in New York, especially Puerto Rican. But there's like one, I think I mentioned this the other day, there's one Puerto Rican restaurant in Marin County, at least that I know of, and everyone is obsessed because it's the only one.
I don't know that I've ever had like Puerto Rican food necessarily, now that you say that, because like, I mean, it's not common up here.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I mean, it's just kind of like a New York City thing. I don't know. But it's just like, where do you have immigrants primarily coming from? But in general, New York City, you know, so many people and so many immigrants, it's got top notch everything in terms of food.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm a weirdo, though. I am not a big fan of New York style pizza. I like it when it has more crust. I like the California style pizza. I'm sorry. It's just too thin.
It's okay to be wrong.
It's just all grease. it's just only grease.
I mean, I grew up in Jersey, so like I have very specific feelings about pizza, especially up here. Because like the pizza here is, a lot of it is like Greek style pan pizza, which is just, some people really like it, and I don't understand at all, because it's like it's cooked within an inch of its life, so like the sauce often dries out. So it's just like it's almost like cheesy bread at a certain point, right, without adding any actual sauce behind it, and that's just like not pizza to me. And I don't get how these places stay in business, because the food is just not good. But like, they have like a conveyor belt oven that they put it in. It's not even like a regular pizza oven. It's like they put it down on a conveyor belt on one side and then the pizza comes out the other. And like, no, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that to pizza? That's awful. But like, I found that the hacks here, which is that you go to a pizzeria that has an Italian sounding name up here, and then you're generally okay. But if it's like new, like insert name of town here, House of Pizza, it's usually that, and it's almost always terrible. But those places just stay in business. People go there. I don't know why, but people do. But yeah, I mean, I guess the California style pizza is fine, but it's just like it's just hard to find anything that's actually like what I'm used to from growing up. And I don't mind the grease so much.
Mm-hmm. I do really want pizza now.
Mm.
I'm starving for dinner, but I do not have any pizza.
I'm sorry. Well, you can always DoorDash it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually thinking about it. The problem is my husband's gluten-free, dairy-free, so it's kind of mean.
They do make those, right? I mean, I guess gluten-free pizzas, but not so much. I mean, you'd have to just have sauce, right? Just sauce and toppings.
The Daiya gluten-free, dairy-free pizza is surprisingly good. It is a little bit of a different... It's a little bit different, but it is actually pretty good. They have a sort of like faux cheese that really is quite cheese-like, and gets a lot of the same. Like, I don't love the faux cheese macaroni and cheeses that he does. I find that vile. But the oat milk cheese that they have, cheese in quotes, that they have on the pizza is actually pretty good. So I am like perfectly happy to eat that. But ordering like a real, I would have to find a place where we can order him something.
yeah. Like I did gluten free for a while and I don't know how I did it, but it was rough.
I have now lunches. I often have just whatever, and we don't always eat the same thing, but I have, there's a lot of cuisines that like do gluten-free.
Yeah.
He's a really good gluten-free baker at this point. He has a really good gluten-free, dairy-free pumpkin pie, which is a trick. This was like a multi-year project to get a really good gluten-free, dairy-free pumpkin pie. But even my mom likes it, and she's like not somebody who's going to pretend that she likes a weird culinary item, shall we say. I've definitely gotten used to it, and it really does help him with his health. But yeah, when I'm like on my own, or even if we go out for burgers, like I'm getting a burger with a bun.
Yeah, that's like every time that Maureen like goes, like she'll like chaperone like the 8th grade class trip to DC, and she does not like Chinese food, like the smell of it, like. Wrecks her. So it's like the first night that she's out, like, hey kids, what do you want to order? Chinese food? Yep, let's do it. Okay, we'll do that. That or Thai. And then that's like the only time that we get that. But it's it's the same type of thing. Like it's funny because like my house growing up was kosher. Like kosher. Like not mixing meat and milk. Like everything has to have like a symbol on it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like that was my mom's thing, and my dad was just like, okay, we're out of the house, anything goes. It's like it's like you want a bacon cheeseburger, sure, let's do it, like, you know.
I never met my Jewish grandmother, but apparently she was famous in the Jewish apartment building in Chicago that she lived in for cooking bacon such that everyone else could smell it. I was like sticking their face around going like, hey, stop it. We smell that. And she was like, well, stop me then. You know, it was apparently quite the character.
Oh, my God.
I'm almost sorry that I am sorry that I didn't ever have the chance to meet her. But even though also sounds like she was difficult in certain ways, but like that's kind of a queen move for somebody who, you know, she was not religious, very Jewish, not religious, and this would have been also like the this would have been like the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, when like you're living in a Jewish area and everybody is like, now it's not like that anymore. Where it's like,
right
now it's like you try to eco. Like we tried when we first moved, when Maureen and I first moved to an apartment. It was like so expensive, and we had to drive like a good 45 minutes to find a kosher butcher. And everything was like incredibly expensive, and we were like right out of college, and like, you know, and it's just like, you know what? Right. We can't do this. Like, it's like we'd like to, but like, it's so expensive and we just can't make it work. And we just found other ways mm-hmm. to do it. Like, I still don't eat pork, but let's just like, you know, I don't need to, I'm not going to care if it's, you know, if it's like from a kosher butcher or whatever, I'll just, you know, eat, just stick to the animals. Like, I don't eat pork and shellfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Or at least, like, visible pork and shellfish. Like, if I get a meatball sub sometimes, it's I'm not asking a lot of questions. But, you know, it's like...
what is in this? Meat.
Yeah.
That is the answer to what is in this. Yep. No, I was not really raised very... as you might imagine from my dad, whose mom did that. He's not very observant either.
Yeah.
And my mom is not Jewish and also very much not religious. And so there was some cultural Jewish stuff going on, but food was not really one of them. I almost wish I had a little bit more cultural Jewish stuff going on when I was growing up. I have a little more connection to it now, but it is what it is. I will say, like, it's not so much that I'm Jewish as my dad was Jewish and my hair is Jewish.
Yeah.
And I'm like, quasi.
That's enough. That's enough, though.
I'm like half.
Yeah.
Sort of.
As much as you want to feel like you are, you know.
Mm-hmm. No. I think my husband and I make one Jewish person between the two of us.
Yeah, that's good enough.
At any rate.
Yeah, I think according to chat, Sidisi is streaming. So that is a rare thing for him to be doing on a Thursday such that we can raid into him. So I need to open up the console from the other thing.
Yep.
I forgot to do that. I don't normally need it when we're streaming at this point, but I do need it to raid. Fine, cities. Yep, he sure is live. So, all right. Well, we're going to go raid into CDC. So, you know, behave yourselves, I suppose. Or don't, you know, he's playing hunter. He's not like he's playing priest like a gentleman. So... All right. So thanks, everybody, for coming out. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a wonderful night. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. There you go.